turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'm sure glad I'm saved today. And I'm glad God still is in the saving business. And if you're without Christ, I want you to know you can meet him today. And he's ready for you just like you are. Lots of people say, well, I got to get better. And I said, no, you'll get better when you get saved. And Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. We like to use the scriptures around here because that's our only authority. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there hast thou that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father,
on your knees and call on Jesus, he will answer.
Jesus had been traveling with a disciple for a few years at this point in this story, and the disciples had unfortunately become a little too attached to the presence of Jesus being there physically with them. They were also becoming a little attached to the world. So Jesus was trying to get them prepared for his departure. He knew his departure was very soon, and he spoke of the fact that he was to die. And they were shocked by this. Their response was the response of Peter, "Not so, Lord." If you remember, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He wanted them to get ready, but he wanted them to realize that they were to live for a bigger kingdom. That they were not to be too attached to this world. They were not to be too wrapped up in the things of this world. In fact, on a couple of occasions, he taught them about that, and how soon they forgot, like we forget often ourselves. For example, he said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." He went on in that same passage to say this. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus wanted them to realize that we're not to be attached to this world. We're to look to something beyond this world, something much greater than this world. And you see, today, there's many people that are so in love with the world. They're so enamored with the world. And though they may be believers, they love this world way too much. And Jesus wanted them to realize that they need to get their eyes off of the world and put it in the eternal world that soon will be to come. This past week, I've been driving by, and it was kind of strange to me. I was driving by North Texas, and there's a little pet store I used to go in all the time and buy some of my pet supplies. I got to know the owner in there. We become good friends and got to know him. And I haven't been in for quite a while. I kind of did a few other different things and got some supplies from another place. And I hadn't been by, and I noticed when I drove by like a week or so ago, I saw it says store closing. And I told my wife, I said, "I need to go by and see them. I don't know when they're going to close the store, but I want to stop in and see Mike, see how he's doing." I said, "I don't know, maybe he's retiring or it's tough to make a living these days." And thought I'd just encourage him a little bit. I stopped by to see him, but strangely enough, you know, he wasn't there. And there were people working in there, and they were trying to get, you know, how they start closing things out. And I was wondering where Mike is. And so I asked the lady, I said, "Where's Mike?" She said, "Well, he passed away." And I said, "What? I didn't know he was sick." And she said, "He didn't know he was sick either." What had taken place, I guess, is around Thanksgiving, he started getting sick and not feeling well, and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, you know, you need to kind of watch your health and watch how you eat, and I'm all about that." And he said, "You need to be really careful." And he went home, and one day he couldn't get out of bed. He couldn't move. They called the ambulance. The ambulance took him to the hospital, and he had cancer all over his body. He lived 6 weeks. Gone like that. Boy, that just got my attention. I realize that we live for a bigger and more important place than this world we're living in.
That's right.
Now, Jesus wants us to realize there's a heavenly reward. How many of you agree with me today that living in this world is tough? How many of you agree with that? Amen? In fact, the Bible says we're living in perilous times. And I would call this perilous times. As I look around and I see what our world is and where it's going and what's happening, The truth of the matter is, we're only here for a time, and we have some responsibility. We're a servant. All of us are to be servants. Our theme this year has been serving the Savior, and I believe that every one of us ought to be a servant to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a purpose, and we're going to look at all that in just a minute, but what I want us to understand is that if our view then is in eternity, why? Had a lady come to our church several years ago, and I went to her home to make a visit, her and her husband, and stopped by to see them. They invited me in, and they were a very nice couple, very candid couple, quite open. And I like that. I'm an honest person, too, and I like the openness. She says, I hope you received a warm welcome, and that's always a really important part to me of people coming to our church and receiving a warm welcome. I know I've been in churches where I don't receive a warm welcome. And I won't ever want to go back to a church like that. And I like a church that's friendly and warm and welcoming. And I said, I trust that you were welcome. Oh, yeah, we were and everything. She said, but, quite frankly, your church is a little morbid. And I said, well, I don't know what you mean by that. I've been to some funerals that were rather morbid, but I hope our church isn't like a funeral. And she says, no, you guys are always talking about dying down there. And about heaven. And I said, well, ma'am, it's important to be ready for heaven. Jesus came to die. The reason why that we focus on that is because our ministry is preparing people for the next life. That's why we serve. Because we serve for something bigger than this world we live in. And there's a reward in serving. And a servant understands that. And so Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples to don't come too attached to this world. Don't become so wrapped up in this life. In other words, don't let your things and your pleasures and your comforts control you. Keep in mind you have something much bigger than this world. We're serving a Savior. We're serving a risen Savior. And so he wanted his disciples to understand that. And I would suggest to you today that God wants us to understand that too. He teaches us that a servant is one who understands that we have to live beyond this world. We have to understand that it's beyond this world because this world is not what we're about. Why? I would suggest to you three reasons. Number one, you can write these down if you'd like, but let me give them to you. Number one, it magnifies God's focus in our lives. That's why I'm looking beyond eternity. When I talk about serving, sometimes I get up and serve, and I'll mention, hey, we ought to be servants of the Lord Jesus. We ought to serve it. And some people think, well, all pastor does, he just wants everybody to just work. No, I want us to serve the Savior because that's what we're told to do. The reason why? Because it magnifies God's focus in our lives. What's my focus? What am I here for? And why? What is my focus all about? Well, first of all, write this one down. There's a brevity of earthly life. I'm not here long. It's short, quick. Life goes very rapidly. A few years ago, I read about this when I was like in my 30s. I read about people who went through what's called middle age crisis. And I thought, ha, man, God's people don't act that way until my time came. Man, I had a hard time. Turning 30, I was like, yeah. Getting to 40, but when I got to 50, I'm like, oh, I'm almost dead. I'll never forget. It didn't really help any when the church had this funeral party for me. turning 50 years old, they had this big funeral party, you know, and everyone went over there and gave me casket gifts and things like that. I'm surprised they didn't give me like a, you know, a subscription to the Funeral Digest or something, you know. And I was going through this middle age thing. I had no idea what it was like. It got kicked in high gear when that church did that. I'm not blaming the church at all. I'm just cutting up with you. But the truth is, though, man, life is brief. It goes quick. In fact, the scriptures tell us about that. And so the truth of the matter is, when I consider that, if my focus in my life, if it's on this life, man, it's going to be short. Life is transitory. So brief. In fact, James says it like this. He says, "Whereas know ye not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I mean, it's boom, it's like that. It's like the puff of smoke out of the back of your car. It's just, that's how life is. It's that quick. We're actually just nothing more than pilgrims here. Just short time. I'm just kind of just passing through. Hebrews says it like this in Hebrews 11. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Guess where they were looking? In eternity. "And were persuaded them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You ever felt that way? It's kind of like what the one guy said. He says, "You know," he says, "the way the world is going right now, I think everybody has lost their marbles but you and me. And I'm starting to wonder about you." It just seems that way. We are like strangers and pilgrims here. This world, as the songwriter says, is not my home. I'm just passing through. I like that song. "My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." The truth of the matter is, don't get too attached. If you don't like it, you don't belong here anyway. You know what God is saying? Get your focus in the right place. I mean, you magnify God's focus in your life, you realize this earth is brief. It's sort of like the military families that come in. I love having them. They're welcome here. Send us all of them. But I know they'll only be here a brief time. Boom. They're gone. You might say it this way. For some military families, they don't even unpack their suitcases. They know they're only going to be here a short time. That's the way we ought to be as Christians. Once we get saved, we realize that our life is just brief here on this earth. We don't even want to unpack our things and get too attached. Because the truth of the matter is, we won't be here very long. We must understand our focus, second of all, is on the permanence of eternal life. That's it. I mean, I look at it this way. The things that I might prepare for the next life, I want to make sure that I have those things ready, because eternity is going to be my focus now as a Christian. I'm getting my marching orders from heaven. I don't have to go to the White House or to the horoscope or to some newspaper prognosticator to tell me what to prepare for. I'm getting all of my orders and all of my daily news and what God wants me to do and how God wants me to live and decisions that I make. I'm getting them. Listen to me. I'm getting them from heaven. It's eternal. You know, our problem is we're too attached to the world. You see, my residence now is in eternity. Ephesians, Paul writes and says this, that at that time ye, speaking of without Christ, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But then he says now in verse 19, but now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see, the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you change residency. Now your home is in heaven. And your address is John 3:16. And those of us who have received Christ as Savior, we understand that that's where I belong, and that's what it's all about now, and that's why I feel so alone here in this world. That's why I feel like a stranger and a pilgrim, and that's why I'm never satisfied with what the world has or what the world wants to offer, what the world brings my way. I'm always going to be discontent. You see, my focus is on eternity. What God is saying is the reason why that we're to prepare for eternity is because it helps us to focus in the right place. We magnify God's focus in our lives. But number two, write this one down. After we magnify God's focus in our life, we begin to realize that we understand, second of all, according to this passage, if we prepare for eternity, it brings pleasure to God's Son. It brings pleasure to God's Son. I want to please God's Son, the Lord Jesus. You realize that Jesus Christ pleased the Father? The Bible says in John 8:29, I do always those things that please the Father. In fact, when Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he came out of the mountain, the Bible said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, everything that Jesus did, he pleased the Father, and he's our pattern. We ought to please the Father as well. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to please the Son. And whatever we do, if we focus on eternity, we're pleasing the Father. And this is declared in this life. Notice what he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Jesus is looking for some faithful people who please him. You see, your faithfulness to church is pleasing to the Father and to the Son. Your faithfulness in your prayer life, your faithfulness in soul winning, your faithfulness in telling others about Christ, your faithfulness in staying by the stuff, that is pleasing to God's Son. That is building for eternity. Oh, listen, I don't think that any building here is more important than the eternal building that's waiting for us. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we work to get to heaven. That's already been settled. No, we are just wanting to do that which we want to expand the kingdom of God. We want to please God. When we're saved, you don't work to get saved. You're not saved because you're a good person, because you have done certain things. We trust Jesus Christ as Savior right where we are. But now that we're saved, we ought to work for God because we love Him. That's service. Being a faithful servant. Let me ask you this. What have you done for Jesus this week? What have you done? Have you talked to anyone about Jesus? Have you opened your Bible and shared the truth to somebody? Have you handed a gospel tract to someone? Have you made any effort to do something to please Jesus this week? You see, that's how we prepare for eternity. That's what it's about. I guess I don't understand it, but why have Christians thought, oh, I'm so wrapped up in living here? It's because our focus is off. And if we're going to please the Son, that means that God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be faithful to Him. And God says that by doing that, we can, when we meet Him, we will hear those words. Alfred Lloyd Tennyson wrote these words: sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea, but such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam. When which drew from our out the boundless deep turns again home. twilight and evening bell, after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out our bourne of time and place the flood may bear me fall, I'll hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. Wow, we're going to see the Savior face to face. Like Fanny Crosby wrote, "When I want to see my Savior first of all. And I want to hear those words from His lips, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" I want to please the Son right now. How about you? I believe that God wants his people to please His Son. But not only now, but I also notice that when I look into the passage, God says that we are going to glorify the Savior in the next life. Can I get you to turn to Revelation chapter 4 very quickly with me, please? Just go to Revelation chapter 4. I think you could probably find that. It's the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 4. You see, the more that we use our talents, the Bible says that it will increase God's kingdom. The more that we do what God has given to us, the responsibility that we take, the more that we do, it will increase. But in the next life, I'm reminded that there are some rewards for the Christian. Look, if you would, at verse number 4, please. Revelation 4 and verse 4. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of the burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne that there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes, and behind, the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, each of them had 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.' And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 beasts or elders fall down before Him and sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever." And watch this. "And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created.'" Here's what God says. God says that one day, in eternity, all of God's people will receive a reward based on their faithfulness to God. Now, that's a whole different message, and we're not looking at that, but I want to target one part of this. The Bible said that God's people will receive crowns. There are 5 in Scripture. The crowns are, number 1, we will receive a soul winner's crown. If you never go soul winning, you won't even have a chance to get a soul winner's crown. So those that don't go soul winning, that won't apply to you because you don't go. But to those who go out soul winning and understand what it means to reach people with Christ and share the gospel, then the Bible said there's a crown for them. Then the Bible goes on to say there's an enduring crown, those who endured trials. There's a crown of righteousness to those who love God and are anxious at His appearing. There's a crown of glory, those who want to honor God with their life. And then there's the crown of life, which is a victorious, no matter what, and their life, they always come out victorious. These 5 crowns. But look at what we do with the crowns. We give them back to Christ. Here's how it works. We understand that God saves me. God gives me the ability to know Him as Savior. That is the moment I trust Christ, my life is changed by Jesus Christ. He gives me new life. He gives me the ability to serve Him. Then I get to heaven, and the Bible said there's crowns, rewards. Here's my reward, and here's what I do. I give it right back to Him because He's worthy of it. There's none of us in here are worthy to take His glory away from Him. And when we get to eternity, we're going to give those crowns back. But what if we have no crowns? What if we have none? The Bible says that that's what's going to happen when we get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I want some crowns. And I'm going to tell you who gets them. Those who have their focus on eternity. Those who live for eternity. If we only live for this life, we've already missed the Christian life altogether. Just like the lady that came to our church that says, "You guys are so morbid down there at Calvary Baptist Church because all you do is sing about heaven." Well, man, that's what we're looking forward to, amen? That's what we're getting ready for. That's why we're serving. That's what it's all about. I mean, look, I know that one day that we're going to die. We are going to die. One man told me this, you know, you can't get out of this world without dying. And we are. But with that in mind, I know this. I want to live for the next life because I know that one day I'm going to see the Savior. And I'm going to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then I want to cast down the crowns at His feet of anything that I've ever done because it's not in me that did it. It's what He did through me anyway. He gets all the glory. And so we understand that when Jesus was telling His disciples, look, take your focus off of you and off of the world and off of being attached to the things of the world and put your focus on eternity because it magnifies God's focus in your life. Number two, it pleases God's Son in our lives. And there's a third one. You can write this one down very quickly. It fulfills God's purpose for our lives. Man asked me one time, he says, "You know, why do you think God put us down here?" I said, "I can answer that question. Number one, so you can know Christ. Your first and most important number one purpose in being here is for you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." And I don't mean by that that you're a member of a church. I mean by that is that you meet Jesus Christ in simple faith. This means that we simply turn to Him and trust Him as Savior. That means we realize that we're sinners and we can't go to heaven on our own. There's no good thing in us. We're not able to be good enough to get to heaven. We need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God says the moment we trust Christ that we realize that He died on the cross for us and He was buried, He rose again the third day, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you called on Him today? Have you trusted Him? You see, that's the purpose of our life, is to know Christ. That's our purpose. That's the reason why we're here. But now that we know Christ, there was a second purpose, and you can write this one down if you'd like, is to follow Christ. I want to follow Him every day. As believers, we're to follow Him and make Him our Lord every day. Jesus said to His disciples, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. In other words, believers are to follow His footsteps. We're to look at His pattern. We're to see what He wants us to do. And that's what 1 Peter, he talks about that. "For even wherein were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Every day I want to follow Him. I want to follow where He goes. I want to be where He is. I want to do what He wants me to do. I don't know. I've seen this little thing. What would Jesus do? You guys have seen those little phrase, or what is it? Is it initials or letters or what is it? Acronyms or whatever you call it. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I like that. What would He do?
We follow his pattern. We know him. We're living for him. And now that we know him, we ought to follow him. We ought to, for people, you know, as we're living here in the world, we're following Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. The world out here, they're following a lot of the wrong things. You know, they get attached to something worldly. Have you ever noticed how they get attached to things? I mean, sometimes it's amazing to me. They get attached to like some movie star or something. They cut their hair like the movie star. You notice that? They'll dress like the movie star. They'll start talking like the movie star. They'll even get the same kind of shoes that they wear. But you know what? When you start putting your focus on that, you're going to start living like they are. Here's what God says. You follow Christ. You know, if I want to let my children have some mentors and patterns in their life, man, I want Jesus to be their pattern. Not some rock musician. Not some movie star. Not some philosopher or some great teacher of this world. I want them to follow Christ. I want them to see him. And I know some of you are saying, well, how can we see him? He's a spirit in you. That's how they'll see him. They'll see him in you. You so live your life in such a way that you're a little Christ. Do you realize that when Christians were called Christians first in Antioch, as access, you know what? That was a term of derision. It was a deriding term. What it meant to say was this. It says, you so act like Christ, you're just a little Christ. Kind of like what my dad did. When everyone said when I grew up, I looked exactly like my dad, poor guy. And they used to call me Little Jack because I was so much looking like my dad. I looked so much like him. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, I would like to be called I'm called a Christian, and I hope that's because I'm like Christ. Nearness is likeness. What are you near? Whatever you're near, you're going to be like. Follow Christ. There's one more. Write this one down. We're to pattern Christ or model Christ before the world. I want the whole world to know Christ. You know, the truth of the matter is, in the church, in this community, Calvary Baptist Church needs to model Christ in this neighbor, in the neighborhoods of Solano County. Christ needs to be seen through the local churches. I mean, those who would look to the churches and they would say, hey, we want to see Christ. Show us. Model him before us. When you're down and you have difficult times, show us how to do it. Live it. Act it. When I have a hard time, how do I handle the problem? Yell, scream, go out, get drunk, beat up people? That's how the world handles it. No, how do I deal with it? There's a God in heaven I can go to. Amen. And that God is able to take care of my needs. And that God is bigger than anything in this world. I'm to model him before the world. How the disciples handle the pressures. How they handle the problems. Well, not always so good any more than we do. But the truth of the matter is, God is trying to teach them that, look, this is what we're to do. This is why we live for something bigger than ourselves. We're to be a walking billboard for Jesus Christ. Hey, the other day, it was kind of funny. I don't know if you guys happen to know this. My wife's telling me, we drove by on North Texas and East Tabor. Remember, you know, you see those little signs where people walk and they hold up these signs and everything? Well, now they got automated. They got a dummy out there doing it. I don't know. Maybe the people didn't advertise real well. You know, I mean, you pay a guy $10 an hour, he stands there and holds a sign, says, you know, pizza buffet, $5 or whatever. Now he's been replaced by a dummy. Think about this. Wonder what God has to work with. I'm not calling you a dummy. But what I'm saying is this. We need to be a billboard for Jesus Christ. I mean, everywhere we go, people ought to know. The Bible says it like this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Everywhere I go, I'm to model Christ. That's what I'm to do. That's why I'm to live for eternity. That's why Jesus says, keep your eyes on eternity. Lift up your eyes. Take them off of the world. Don't be too attached. Yeah, we're pilgrims. Sure, we're here for a short time. Don't unpack your luggage here. Wait till you get to heaven, but make sure you have some luggage. You see, we have a higher calling. We have an eternal destiny waiting for us. And God says there are three reasons why. Number one, our focus in this life is to be on letting God magnify his focus for me. Number two is I might please my son, God's son, and my father. Number three, I'm to fulfill God's purpose for my life. It's unfortunate, though, some Christians are like the little boy that I read about. The little boy one day was in the living room, and he stuck his hand into his mother's very expensive, ultra expensive vase and could not pull it out. And when mom, in the quietude of the day, when mom didn't hear, she started looking for her son. You guys know that feeling, don't you? And she found her son with his hand inside an heirloom vase of great value. How are we going to get it out? They tried the soap. They tried water and soap. They tried everything they possibly could, and they could not get his hand out of the vase. Finally, they had no choice. They had to break the vase. And they broke the vase, and when they did, the vase is all broken. Out come the little boy, and his hand was clenched with his fist. And she said to him, she said, you know, she said, has your fist been clenched the whole time? And he says, it has. She said, well, why didn't you let it go? Why didn't you just open up your hand? We could have pulled it right out. She said, open your hand. And when he opened the hand, there was a copper penny in the middle of his hand. And you know how often Christians are like that? We're holding on to a penny. And we've lost the value of what life is all about. You see, your life is more important that you live for eternity than it is for this life. Some of you are hanging on to the penny, the world. And you know how much a penny's worth? Nothing. What shall profit a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus asked. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer to that question of both is nothing. It's not of any value. Eternity is where it's at. That's what Jesus wants his men to understand, and that's what faithful servants understand, because that's where the reward is. What about you? Do you know Christ today? Do you know him? And what about living for him? Where is your focus? When's the last time you told someone about Christ? When you handed out a gospel tract, when you cared enough to knock on the door of your neighbor and tell them, hey, we're inviting you over for, we want you to come to services this Sunday. When's the last time? You see, only 5% Christians in the world right now ever tell anybody about Christ. 95% do nothing.
sand. We're missing the opportunities. We're wasting our life away because we're more concerned about our comforts than we are about those who do not know Christ. May God help us to take what Jesus is teaching very seriously. Heavenly Father, Lord, today,